We were all born with natural talents. We have natural gifts that we were born with, talents and abilities. For instance, some of you have tremendous athletic prowess. You can run faster. You can jump higher. You can go further than most other people. Others of you have tremendous analytical minds. You noodle on something long enough and you can think your way through it. Some of you have excellent singing voices and you can hold perfect pitch. Others of you have an eye for color and detail and design, and you can bring things together in just such a way that it's beautiful. Others of you, like my daughter, have a gift for words. Others of you have talents like you can belch the national anthem. Don't raise your hand on that one. In the same way, when we were born again, we received spiritual gifts. When you became a Christian, when you were baptized into Christ, you received the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit comes, takes up residence in your life, and one of the things the Holy Spirit does is He gives you a spiritual gift. And remember, a spiritual gift is a spiritually empowered ability given to every believer to help the church be the church. Now, what that means is this. This is how James put it. In James chapter 4, verse 10, he said, each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. That means your gift, no matter what it is to serve others. You're to use your gift to build up, to bless, and to better others. Gifts are a tool to build with, not a toy to play with, not a weapon to fight with. But that's what the gifts are used for. Now, Peter doesn't tell us what the gifts are. He simply describes them in terms of speaking gifts and serving gifts. And we've seen over the last few weeks how these gifts fit under these different umbrellas, speaking gifts and serving gifts. But the Apostle Paul, in three different passages, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14, and Ephesians chapter 4, he lists various spiritual gifts. Now, if you look at these three lists, and we're not going to read all three of those passages right now, but if you look at those lists, and I've listed all of them, they're in your bulletin, in your insert, in the bottom kind of right hand, there's a list of all these spiritual gifts. But if you look at each of the lists that Paul has, they're not identical. There's a lot of similarities, there's a lot of overlap, but each list contains some things that aren't in the other lists. And there's also several things in there that are very similar that make us wonder, well, is that the same gift or is it something different? For instance, what's the difference between the gift of leadership and the gift of governing? What's the difference between the gift of serving and the gift of helps? Many scholars believe that those are actually the same gift, just with different descriptions. But the fact that there's some differences there should tell us that these lists of gifts is not a set, defined, exhaustive set of gifts. There may be some gifts that aren't listed here. Your gift may not just be one of these things. It might be a combination of two or three of them. But the bottom line is this, that this is the list of gifts that we have. This is what we know, and so we're going to build on that. Now, what I want to do this morning is to begin to help you answer the question, what is my spiritual gift? What has God gifted me to do? And to have you begin to open that gift, to unwrap that gift, and understand what it is that God has called you to do. You see, a gift only does you good if you open it and you use it and you enjoy it. A gift that is never opened doesn't do anybody any good. Now, how many of you have seen the movie Castaway? All right, good. Most of you have seen it. In the movie, Tom Hanks plays Chuck. He's a FedEx manager. He's on a FedEx plane. A storm comes up, blows the plane off course. It crashes into the ocean. He washes up on the beach of some uncharted island and thus becomes a castaway. And his only companions on this island are the scores of FedEx boxes that wash up on the beach with him. And as he opens the different boxes, he finds that there's stuff of very little use to him stranded on this island. He did find a pair of ice skates. If you remember, he used those as a tool for dental surgery. Oh, bugs me just to think about that one. But the most famous thing was the volleyball. You all remember the volleyball, right? Wilson kind of became his alter ego that he talked to throughout the movie. But there was one box that he never opened. And he didn't open it because on the box was a set of angel wings. And the angel wings sort of symbolized hope. And the box itself symbolized future purpose. You know, one day in the future, when I get off of this island, I'm going to deliver that box. And if you all remember the end of the movie, you know, he goes to deliver the box, and it leads to this typical Hollywood kind of scenario. It leads him to this woman, and it leaves you thinking that maybe this woman is his destiny, his soulmate, that sort of thing. But not long after the movie, FedEx came out with a Super Bowl commercial that reimagined the end of the movie. And he goes to deliver the box, and I'll just let you watch it.
Hi.
Hi.
I was marooned on an island for 5 years with this package. And I swore that I would deliver it to you because I work for FedEx.
That's very admirable. Thank you.
Hey, but by the way, what's in the package?
Nothing really. Just a satellite phone, GPS locator, fishing rod, water purifier, and some seeds. Just silly stuff. Thank you again. You keep up the good work.
It only does you good if you open the box. We have to open our spiritual gift. God hasn't gifted us with an ugly knit sweater that deserves to go in the back of your closet. He's given us these amazing and useful gifts that make all of the difference in the church. You see, without these spiritual gifts, the church is no more powerful and no more effective than any other social club, civic organization, or charity. No different than 100 others that are out there. But with these spiritual gifts, the church becomes a life-changing, soul-shaping force of global impact. That's the importance of spiritual gifts. And so what I want to do here this morning is give you 4 helpful hints that will help you begin to discover what your gift is. Now, I can't tell you your spiritual gift is this, your spiritual gift is that. But I can point you in the right direction. And the first thing is this. A spiritual gift gives unusual effectiveness in a responsibility given to all. A spiritual gift gives unusual effectiveness in a responsibility given to all. Now, let me explain. If you look through these gifts, especially the speaking gifts and the serving gifts, notice how many of them involve things that we are all called to do anyway. For instance, we're all called to serve. Galatians 5:13. Serve one another humbly in love. We are all called to have faith. Mark 11:22, and Jesus answered them, have faith in God. We are all called to show mercy. Luke 6:36, therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. We're all called to evangelize. We are all called to give. There are instances in which we are all called to teach. We are all called to lead in something. But God gifts us to be especially effective in something that we are all called to do. Now, part of the reason for this is that, well, I can't say this. I can't say, well, I don't have to give because I don't have the gift of giving and you do. And you can't say, well, I don't have to teach because I don't have the gift of teaching, and you do. And you can't say, well, I don't have to tell others about Jesus because I don't have the gift of evangelism. Why? Because we're all called to do these things anyway. But why did God gift us with things that we are all supposed to do anyway? And here's my best guess. Gifts show us what something looks like. I learn how to serve by watching somebody who has the gift of serving do their thing. We learn how to give by watching generosity overflow from someone who has the gift of giving. We learn how to show mercy by watching somebody who has the gift of mercy be merciful. Gifts give us an example to follow. One day, in the middle of the hottest part of summer, a church's primary AC unit goes out. And this isn't your run-of-the-mill residential unit. This is big, commercial, industrial AC. And so the repair guys come in and they give the church an estimate. It's going to cost you $30,000 to replace and install the new AC. And the church, frankly, did not have the budget pay $30,000. And so they called a congregational meeting, and they were kind of at their wits' end. What are we going to do? And about this point in the meeting, there's a couple that stands up. They've been a part of the church for a long time. They ran a small business there in town, a rather successful business. They were good with money. But in addition to having a good financial head on their shoulders, they were very passionate about how the church used her money and that it was used effectively and used efficiently. They had the gift of giving. And the husband speaks up and he says, my wife and I will give $5,000 to the new AC. And about that time, somebody over here stood up and he says, I'll give $300. And then another couple stands up, says, we'll give $1,000. And like the proverbial snowball that started rolling down the hill, it just kept going and going. And before you know it, not only did they have enough money to pay for the new AC, but they had enough to pay for a couple of other improvements as well. And it all started with somebody with the gift of giving. You see, a spiritual gift can be like a jump starter in the church that gets the rest of the body going. In electronics, there is a component that's called a capacitor. And a capacitor, one of its uses is that it stores a charge of energy for when it's needed later. And a spiritually gifted person is like a spiritual capacitor with whatever gift that they have. So when the body of Christ needs a charge of giving, then a person with the gift of giving provides that charge. Or if they need a charge of faith or a charge of mercy or a charge of teaching, whatever it is, spiritual gifts give the church what it needs when it needs it. And then it inspires all of us. So here's the question you need to ask yourself this morning. What is my spark? What is my spark? What is it that God is trying to ignite in you and through you? What is your spark? Number two, helpful hint number two. We discover our spiritual gifts as we actively pursue those responsibilities. If a spiritual gift is an unusual effectiveness and a responsibility given to all of us, then we discover our gift by pursuing those various responsibilities. You discover your gift to serve by serving. You discover your gift to lead by leading, and so on. And as you obey God in these different areas, you're going to discover that you're better at some things than you are at others. You'll experience God's power and provision more in one area than others. And it's entirely possible that one day you're helping out with something and it'll hit you like a bolt of lightning. Like, wow, I'm really good at this. I enjoy doing this. I love doing this. But not only that, you can sense God working through you. You can feel God blessing other people through you. And not only that, but you receive a blessing from it as well. I'll use Paul and Barnabas as an example. In Acts chapter 13, God calls Paul and Barnabas, and this is early enough in Paul's career, he's still called Saul. But he calls them out in the middle of church service. This is the church at Antioch. They're in the middle of church service. And here's what happens. Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Now, have you ever wished God would do that for you? He would just call you out and tell you exactly what it is He wanted you to do. Wouldn't ministry be a whole lot easier if God just right in the middle of church, "Please set apart for me David and Chuck. I want them to be in charge of building and grounds." Oh, that makes things real handy. "Please set apart for me Laura. I have given her the gift of serving and I want her to prepare meals for those in need." Oh, that way there's no doubt. There's no question. There was no question about what God had called Barnabas and Paul to do. But here's what I want you to see. If you flip back just a couple of pages to Acts chapter 11. Now, you're just flipping back a couple of pages here, but you're flipping backwards about a year to 3 years in time. But here's what we read in verses 25 through 26. "Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." So before God calls Paul and Barnabas apart and sets them apart to go teach other people about Jesus, what were they doing? Teaching people about Jesus. They weren't just sitting around in Antioch like twiddling their thumbs and, I wish God would tell us what He wants us to do. They weren't waiting. They were already serving, and then God was able to steer them in the direction He wanted them to go. You ever tried to steer a bicycle that's standing still? Now, I think every kid tries it at least once. When I first got into cycling a few years ago, it's something that pros can do. And I was watching videos on YouTube, and there'd be like a video that would say, "How to track stand like a pro." That's what they call it, track standing. And there'd be a video of a person who actually looks good in Lycra, clipped in to both pedals, and they're just sitting there, and they might do this a little bit, and the pedals would rock back and forth just a little bit, but they can stand up and not moving anywhere. And I watched that, and I go, I could do that. So I go out and try it in my driveway. Guess what happens? And so the first thing you do, you get up and you look around and see if any neighbors saw you. And you're trying to look tough. And then when you realize you're all alone, then you're like, "Oh, man, that hurt." It's almost impossible to steer a bike that isn't going anywhere. And it's a whole lot easier to know your giftedness when you are already following God, when you're already serving. Pick your illustration. It's easier to guide a horse that's walking. It's easier to steer a ship that's already sailing. It's easier to turn the steering wheel when the wheels are already rolling. If you've ever driven a vehicle without power steering, you know what I'm talking about. It is a whole lot easier to find your giftedness when you're already moving. And it can be almost impossible if you're doing nothing. So if you serve in an area and then you fall over, fall flat on your face, guess what? It's okay. No big deal. You've just discovered what you're not gifted in. And the answer to that is to not serve. The answer is to serve in a different way. Number three, our spiritual gift is usually found in the union of what we are good at, what we are passionate about, and what others affirm. And I'll explain this with a diagram. The circle labeled ability, this refers to your natural talents and skills, what you're naturally good at. So say you're naturally good at public speaking, you're a talented singer, you're an excellent craftsman, you're a great cook, that sort of thing. And spiritual gifts often work in tandem with your natural talents. So, for example, it would not be unusual to have somebody who's a great singer, but who also has the gift of encouragement. Those two things can work together. Affinity is what you're passionate about. This is the stuff you think about, you read about, you daydream about. These are your passions. This is where you carry your burdens. These are the things that you think should be the most important priority for a church. And in any church, you're going to find somebody who thinks the church needs to be all about foreign missions. And you're going to find somebody else who thinks the church needs to be all about the poor and the needy. And somebody else is going to say, no, the church needs to be all about reaching the lost for Christ. And somebody else is going to say, no, the church needs to be about families and children. And somebody else is going to say it needs to be about women's ministry or men's ministry. And I could start quite an argument here this morning by pitting each one of these things against the others. But that's not what we want or what we need. What we need are people who are passionate, who are sold out, who are all in when it comes to each one of these things. And each of us needs something that we are that passionate and that sold out and that all in for when it comes to Jesus and our faith and church. And I want you to be convinced that whatever your affinity is, that it's the most important thing for the church to be doing. And whatever your affinity is, that gives you a clue where your gift lies. Now, we also need to be humble enough and loving enough to realize that everybody else has a different most important thing. And God needs all of them. Affirmation is what other people see in you. So when you serve in a certain way or you fill a certain role and other people say, wow, you're really good at that. I'm really blessed when you do such and such. Or I can really see God working in you when you do that. It becomes evident through the affirmation of others that God's Spirit is working through you when it comes to that thing. And when that affirmation happens, ding, 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 that's a sign of your gift. Now, what you're looking for is where these three things all come together in your life. And where they overlap, that is your sweet spot. That's where I would be looking for your spiritual gift. Now, you're not limited to that area, but that's where I would focus. And I explained to you a couple weeks ago that for me personally, my gift is in the area of teaching. Preaching and teaching, that's my calling, that's my passion, that's my gift. That's why God put me here on planet Earth. That's why God dragged me kicking and screaming to Bible college. And I'm arguing with him the whole time. No, God, I don't want to be a preacher. I want to be a computer programmer. But once I started to preach, I made an amazing discovery. That I'm passionate about God's Word, that I have an affinity for studying Scripture, and I carry this great burden for God's people to know God's Word. And it breaks my heart when God's people are biblically illiterate, when they mishandle or abuse or just are reckless with the Word of God. And in my mind, this biblical teaching is the most important thing in the church because it underlies all the other things that a church does. Now, I know you think something else is most important. That's okay. You can be wrong. Wink, wink. But then God also used the affirmation of others to show me my gift. Because, you know, in Bible college, I started preaching throughout the four-state area. Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas. One week I'm preaching in a church of 15 people, and the next week it would be a church of 200. And week after week, people would come up to me and they would say things like, you make difficult things easy to understand. Or I've been going to church a really long time and I've learned something new today. Or I've never thought about it that way before. You've given me something to think about. And these affirmations became confirmations of what God wanted to do with my life. Now, I explain how sometimes our spiritual gift works in conjunction with our natural talents. Like the Apostle Paul. Before Paul was gifted and called to be somebody who went and taught the Word of God to other people, guess what? He was already a powerful teacher and leader. He was just teaching and leading the wrong things. And God redirected it and used it for His purposes. But other times God gives spiritual gifts that seemingly have nothing to do with what a person's naturally good at. For instance, there's a young lady who's extremely shy, incredibly introverted, doesn't like talking to new people at all. But God has given her a tremendous gift of evangelism. She can't talk to people about anything, but when she starts talking about Jesus, something amazing happens. She blossoms like a flower, and she just begins to tell other people about Jesus. And not only does she enjoy telling other people about Jesus, she's really good at it. They listen to what she has to say. They respond, and she's reached more people for Jesus than anybody else in her church. And you would never expect it from her. One of the most gifted teachers and church leaders I've ever worked with personally was a guy who was a trucker for a living. You know, he's not the kind of guy that you would meet Monday through Friday and think, oh, you're a great Bible teacher, you're a great church leader. But he was. At the same time, on the flip side, I've known people who at work, they were great public speakers. They would speak at conferences and seminars, but they couldn't preach their way out of a paper sack. And there's other people who are leaders at work. They lead teams of dozens and dozens of people, but they're not effective church leaders. And I think the reason God does this is he wants to remind us that our ministry is not about what we can do, but it's about what He can do. And it's not by our strength or our power, but it's by His power. There's an old saying, sometimes God calls the gifted, but other times He gifts those He's called. Number four, spiritual gifts arise out of the unique ways that God has written your life story or our life stories. Every one of our lives is shaped by various experiences. And your own experience provides a context for God's gift in your life. In Acts chapter 26, Paul is sharing his own life story and giving his testimony. And in verse 16, he quotes what Jesus told him on the road to Damascus. Earlier in the book of Acts, you read about how Paul was on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians. And if you remember the story, there was a bright light. It knocks him to the ground, and there's this loud voice, and everybody hears this loud voice, but not everybody hears everything that was said. Well, Paul tells us some of what Jesus told him, and here's what he says. Now get up, stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to anoint you as a servant and as a witness, listen to this, of what you have seen and will see of me. Paul's giftedness was rooted in his own story. He experienced and encountered Jesus in ways that were unique to him, that enabled him to do what Jesus called him to do. And you have your own story that shaped you, that has also shaped how you encounter and experience Jesus. Maybe your life story has been shaped by divorce, or chronic illness, or some abuse that you suffered. Who you are today might be shaped by what you experienced when you were deployed overseas. Maybe you've experienced a tremendous success that sent you down a wrong path. Maybe you've battled and overcome addiction. Maybe you have struggled to find God's grace through mental health issues that you have faced all of your life. But every one of you is a unique story. And God's gift in you is going to look different than it will for everyone else. Even if you have the same gift that I have, it's going to look different in you than it does in me. And you'll be able to reach people that I won't be able to reach. And I'll say this for every one of you. There are people you can reach that no one else here can. Because your life experience And your own personal story will intersect with their story in just the way they need to meet Jesus. We've all been given a gift. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have a spiritual gift. But that gift is only good if it's opened and used. And so as we draw to a conclusion here this morning, I want to put a tool in your hands. On the back welcome center there is a little, about 5 sheets of paper. It says Spiritual Gift Evaluation and Inventory. And this is a tool that will help you discover your spiritual gift. Now, let me be very honest and upfront. It's not foolproof. It's not a guarantee. It's just a tool. And I also say this, that its accuracy goes up the more that you're already following and trying to serve Jesus. So if you're really trying to follow and serve Jesus, this will be pretty accurate. If you're doing nothing, this might not give you a clue at all. But given that, I think it's a good place to start. And what you need to do, there's like 3 pages of questions here, and it covers all of these different spiritual gifts. And you just answer each of these things on a scale of 1 to 5. One, this is very true of me, all the way to this isn't true of me at all. And there's an answer sheet back here. And you just put your answer on each corresponding number to the question. And when you're done, you have like 16 different columns here. And each column represents a different spiritual gift. And you total each one up, and you take your top 2 or 3. And that can give you an idea of what your spiritual gift is. When you finish that, just move your totals over to this last page by itself and bring this back to church next week, or bring it back to me on Wednesday night, or whenever you see me. I want to collect as many of these as possible so that we have an understanding of what your giftedness is. So that we're not trying to put square pegs into round holes, so that we can plug people into places that not only bless other people, but bring God's blessing to you and allow you to use the things that God has given you. So I encourage you to pick one of these up before you leave today. Take it home with you. Take some time this week. It won't take you too long to do it. Answer it honestly, openly, and then bring that last sheet back. And hopefully it can be an eye-opening time of discovery for you. And I just wanted to put that tool in your hand so that you would be able to answer the question, what is my spiritual gift? And if somebody were to ask you that question, you could say, my spiritual gift is mercy. My spiritual gift is giving. Whatever the case may be. But open the gift. Don't leave the box. Would you please be standing, and we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing this song of invitation and commitment. Father God, if this were Christmas morning, there would be more gifts in this room than we could imagine. There would be all of these beautifully decorated boxes, but you want us to open those boxes. You want us to see what's inside. You want us to use what's inside. And Lord, I pray, some of us, we know what our gift is. We're already doing what you've called us to do. Some of us aren't sure. Some of us don't know. So I pray that today will be a journey of discovery, that you would guide us in this. We pray this in Jesus' name. As we sing this song, if you need prayer this morning, we've got Terry and Lisa up here to pray with you. We've got some of our Stephen ministers back here to pray with you. I'll be over here at these double doors if you need to talk to me, or you're looking to make a decision this morning. This is your opportunity to respond. Let us sing.